If you take these things and work with it, it will lead you into huge success.
In this highly enlightened message, Pastor Chris brings us 7 revelations for unstoppable success in life. If you keep these points before you always,
nothing on earth or in the heavens can stop you. Nothing. You just know you're on your way.
Listen and be blessed.
Yesterday, we began talking about 7 revelations for unstoppable success. Unstoppable success. 7. And we discussed 5 yesterday. Is that correct? Success is at different levels. You don't wait to the end of your life to know whether you're successful or not. At different stages of your life, you can measure your success. Now, if you had no goals, you can't measure success because there were no goals. To be successful, there must be predetermined goals. There must be predetermined goals. Without those predetermined goals, you can't measure success. So there must be predetermined goals if we're going to measure success. Because if you say you're successful, the question is, what are you successful at? There would have been predetermined goals, right? And so we discussed 5 yesterday. And what are they? Number 1. What? No, I got to hear you. Number 1. A life beyond yourself. Aptly made number 1. Number 2. Again. A kingdom beyond the senses. And number 3. A message beyond the facts. Number 4. Yes, a spirit beyond the world's powers. Number 5. A law beyond the natural. Number 6. Number 6 is even simpler. Let's look at number 1 for a second. A life beyond yourself. And why this is so important. I said something to you yesterday. I said there are 2 groups that are very important in leadership in the house of God. You. And who? Because you see, when you study the scriptures, beginning from the Old Testament, he gives you a light into God's plans. Did you enjoy what the CEO shared with you today? Yeah. Amazing things. If you build on that, it'll help you. So in this leadership, if you can understand from the scriptures God's plans for his house, the kingdom of God, it'll help you position yourself. It'll help you see yourself. It'll help you understand yourself and know where you should be going and what you should be doing. I'm going to read couple of verses just so you catch a glimpse of this reality. Are you ready for this? Good. In the Old Testament, remember, he called Israel his church. That was his church in the wilderness. And then he brought them into the promised land. That was his church. And he created for them a structure. With the law. In the process of time, he gave his prophets revelations beyond the law, so they could understand God's plans, God's purpose. In that family of his Old Testament church, he separated the work of the ministry and gave it to the house of Levi. Now, Levi had 3 sons: Geshem, Kohath, and Merari. In the lineage of Kohath, you have Aaron. Who was given the priesthood. So the priesthood remained in the house of Levi through the house of Aaron, who was from the Kohathites. So not all Levites could could be priests. Do you get it? Not all Levites could be priests. But the Levites were given specific assignments. All of them who were descendants of Levi. So, a family was given the priesthood. And all the other assignments associated with priesthood were given to other descendants of Levi. So everything that had to do with the ministry of the sanctuary, therefore, was delivered to Levi. The kingship was given to Judah. But there's an interesting thing about the kingship. In Israel, you had two kings all the time. All the time. There was the king for men. There was the king for God. Now, many have never understood this truth, but it was always there in the book. The high priest was a king. The high priest was a king. Interesting. He was always a king, right from when the office was created. What he wore on his head was a crown. It was a king's crown. But he ruled for God. So the people said they wanted to be like other nations. They wanted a king like other nations. But God actually gave them a king. But a king who brought direction from God. Until they said, we're glad for this one, but we want another king so we can be like other nations. We want a king that leads us to war. But God led them to war. And they won the battles. In any case, they rejected God's plan and they wanted something else. And God said to Samuel, give them the king they're asking for. But let them know what the king's going to do to them. They're going to become slaves of the king. He will take their lands. He'll make them pay taxes. And taxation is the first line to prove you own nothing. It all belongs to the king. That's taxation. Taxation is the government's way of laying claims to anything they're taxing you on. Many people don't know that because it's driven through lots of deceptive communication. So they don't really know the meaning of taxation. They think it's a contribution. to the welfare of the society. No. It's the king's way of laying claims to everything. And practically declaring everyone in the realm his subject. So that's what taxation is really about. That's what it's really about. But men chose it for themselves, remember. They chose it for themselves. Why did they do it? Because, see, God owns everything, right? And God said to his children, you will give a tithe. And because you give the tithe, I'm going to bless you because you're bringing me into partnership with you. So I lay claims to all that's yours for the purpose of blessing you more. So Satan comes and he brings his, okay, God takes the tithe. I take the tax. Can you understand it better now? So he lays claims also. He says, you pay the tax and then I'll help you with all the other things you need. But guess what? In every country, the tax is stolen. In every country. Taxes are paid by the people, but it's usually stolen. It's hardly used for its purpose. It's stolen. Where do all those billions go to? So they create wars and send the money for war. But they're not fighting no war. No. It goes to the contracts and back to those in power. That's what it's about. You know, I'm saying this to you so you understand the structure of the world system. You understand the structure of the world system. And don't be fooled, but become wise toward God. Because you know, when people are growing up, one of the first things they learn is to trust their leaders. And so the educational system presents you the leaders you're supposed to trust. And who are they? Government. They even teach you not to trust your parents. They teach you to trust government. And they tell you, if your parents mistreat you, call this number. So who are you to call when the government mistreats you? No, they never tell you the government can mistreat you. But the government does. So you find children growing up suspicious of their parents and putting their trust in the government structures. They're not taught to ask the right questions. But you have to learn to ask the right questions. But how can you ask the right questions if you don't have the right understanding? And that's why in the house of God, you've got to be taught. You've got to be taught. You've got to have an understanding of truth. You have to. And the Bible helps you understand truth. Because the Bible presents you absolute truth about everything. Truth about everything. The scriptures will guide your mind. Guide your mind to understand truth. And that's why we talk about a message beyond the facts. See? Because you're given spiritual understanding by God. So, these Levites were given a special role. Now, let's read from the New International Version, 1984. Let's read 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, from verse 12. Now I'm going to read it to you, okay? If you're reading from the King James translation, it may look a little clumsy. That's why I want to read it to you from a newer version like the NIV. So you catch the picture. It says, the men did the work faithfully. Over them to direct them were Jahath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam descended from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers. These were musicians. All right? All of them skilled. Skilled in playing musical instruments. Had charge of the laborers. And supervised all the workers from job to job. Did you see that? Look at the next part of that. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers. Did you notice that? All the leadership positions were given to the Levites. Did you see that? These were the descendants of Levi. Whether they were going to be priests or non-priests, long as they were Levites, they were trained for specific assignments in the house of God. And they were given leadership roles. That shows they were raised for a life greater than themselves, a life beyond themselves. Two important things. Number one, train in leadership. Because that's what you're being raised for. But if you don't know, it won't work. Number two, resource management. The two of them are similar. One is inside the other. It's like the egg and the chicken. So you see, which comes first? Is it the egg or is it the chicken? But one will produce the other. Train in leadership. But if you don't put yourself in the position or function in the place where you can learn leadership, train in leadership, it may not work by itself. It may not. But that's actually what God wants for you. That's why you were raised where you were being raised. But when you don't know, you pursue everything else and ignore this. If you're going to train in anything, train in leadership. Train in resource management. That's what you need. Until and unless you're trained in those, you'll be beaten around the bush. You'll be on a wild goose chase. And God graciously has created channels for you to get such trainings. Many times, those channels are ignored. They're ignored. So it takes them a long time. A long time. To even discover, to figure it out, it takes a long time for some. Sadly, some never find out. Ask yourself, why? Why were you born? What was God's plan for your life? Why are you being raised by a pastor or pastors? What's the purpose? I just told you. See what I mean? And until you catch that, you can't see the power of it. You still here? Are you getting my point at all? My point is very important, okay? I said, I'm discussing seven revelations for unstoppable success. And when I talk about success, I really mean all-round success. See, all-round success. So you become impactful in your life. Impactful. Number six. A focus on the unseen. A focus on the unseen. Let me read a portion of the Bible to you. In fact, I'll read two different portions just to get your mind on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read from the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at that. He says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's an outward man and there's an inward man. All right? He's referring to your human spirit. Different from your body. Your body and its senses. And then the human spirit and its soul. Okay. Next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is powerful. Look at it. Look at it. Watch what it says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It says, no matter what we're going through, things may have been difficult. He calls it a light affliction. But that's producing for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at the next thing because it shows you the condition. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're not looking at the things which are seen. But we are focusing at the unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So which one would you rather focus your sight on? The unseen. The eternal. He tells you that the unseen is greater than the visible. Okay, let's read another portion. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. That means the evidence of the unseen. Right? Remember, he told you, we look at the unseen. Next verse. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Remarkable. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Which means the unseen gave birth to the seen. So things which are seen were not made of things which appear. They were made of the unseen. So what do you do? Focus on the unseen. You want to be very successful. You're going to have to learn to focus on the unseen. Not the things you see with your eyes or the things you perceive with your senses. See with your eyes of the Spirit. The vision of the Spirit. See the unseen. Focus on the unseen. What are you going to be doing? January, February, March, can you see it? Can you see what you're going to be doing? Can you see it? A focus Not just a flash. You can get a flash, but once you get a flash, take a hold of it. Like a picture. All right? Your instant photograph. You capture it and you keep it. Now I can look at it again and again, right? I can look at it again and again. So you see that flash? Because sometimes God shows you the vision in a flash. And you see that flash, let your spirit be so fast as to catch it. Then take it. Now you can look at it again and again. When you pray, you can look at it. It says, the elders obtained a good report with this. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You think of what God wants to do with your life. So when we say that God wants to do big things, a lot of times, if the mind is small, it can't comprehend the big things. After all, what's big? Big is relative. What may be big to one, may be small to another. Isn't that true? Sure. Number six was simple. Focus on the unseen. So I said, man, focus on the unseen. And like I said, it might have come like a flash in the spirit. But your spirit should have been fast enough also to get that picture so you can look at it again. Because you want to make it a reality, you have to have it in front of you. Number seven, a language of faith. Not just having to do with a subject. A language of faith. This is so important. I'm going to read you a few verses in scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse 14. Read it for me. One, two, go. For they that say such things, that's amazing. They that say such things, he says, those who talk like that, there's a language of faith. Those who talk like that declare plainly that they live in another world. They live in another world. It says they declare plainly that they seek a country that is not of this earth. It says God is not ashamed to be called their God because he had prepared for them a city. And when you continue, this is chapter 11, you continue and get into chapter 12, he says, you have arrived in that city that those were seeking for. We are in that city. He says, by this, the elders obtained a good report. They had a language of faith. You have to cultivate a language of the kingdom. The language of the kingdom is a language of faith. If you talk with people who are negatively programmed, you'll be talking negatively too. You speak like them. But if you walk with the wise, you become wise. you're fellowshipping with people who talk fear, you're going to be talking fear. You fellowship with people who talk worry, you're going to be talking worry. Fourteenth verse, Hebrews 11. For they that say such things, they that say such things, maybe we should read a little bit what he's talking about. Go to verse 10. Let's start from verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's Abraham. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Look at that. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They embraced the promises. That's what I was telling you. That's what I was telling you. Look at it. A kingdom beyond the senses. A message beyond the facts. A spirit beyond the world's powers. A law beyond the natural. A focus on the unseen. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at that. They embraced them. They embraced the message. Persuaded of what they had seen in the spirit, what had been shown to them. It says, Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a city built on principles of life from God. Go back to the 13th verse. These all died in faith. All the people he mentioned, the names, from the 4th verse all the way, they had all died, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then he tells us in that 14th verse, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Let's keep reading. Next verse. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Yeah. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. A city. But we have now come into their shoes. See that? Let's keep reading. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Wow. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Remarkable. And you just read on and on and on and on and on. On and on. A life of faith. A language of faith. Say, I have a different language. Say, I have the language of faith. I have the language of faith. I don't talk unbelief. I don't talk fear. I don't talk doubt. I talk faith. I talk faith. I talk faith. Say it again, I talk faith. I walk by faith. I live by faith. See, that should be your language. It's a language of faith. That's the language of the kingdom. As a Christian, this is your language. And it's not going to happen just because you're a Christian. No, you got to learn the language of faith. It's a language. It's a language. It's a language. Like you learned the French language, like you learned the English language, like you learned the Zulu language or the Yoruba language. You got to learn the kingdom language. How did you learn the languages you speak? Communicating with them. Talking with others who spoke that language. And little by little, you gained the understanding of that language. Even if you studied it theoretically, you still would have had to communicate with someone else who spoke it. Otherwise, you couldn't speak it. It would be a problem. That's why, if you're not talking the language of faith with those who talk faith, you can't master it. You can't master it. You'd be vacillating. Today you talk faith and tomorrow you talk unbelief. And that won't work. It will neutralize whatever you laid claims on. You want to be full of faith? Get full of the word. If you're full of the word, you'll be full of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Bombard your mind with messages on faith. Become so loaded with faith that you know that you know that you know you're full of faith. So in the next 6 months, what will be your results? So you use these 7 revelations for unstoppable success. The next 6 months, you'll be so unstoppable. By June, you'll be looking at results. Tremendous results. You know, there are those who talk, but they don't do. Right? Don't be in that class of those who talk but don't do. They talk but no results. Be result oriented. All right? Think results. Talk and do. Now that's not necessarily in that in an order, like talking first, doing next. It can be doing and talking. Depends on what it's about. Some things you have to do, then talk. For example, in the healing school, I would do the healing first before we talk. Some people criticized me for it. They said he didn't even preach. They said, Jesus said, this sign shall follow. And then they preached, then they mentioned the other part. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. They said, Pastor Chris, he didn't even preach. And the signs are supposed to confirm the word. They said, there was no word. No, they were wrong. Most of those people came because they already heard the word that I preached. You think they were stupid? They already did their research to find out what it was I was talking about. So they already satisfied themselves that I was preaching about Jesus Christ before they came. But even aside that, I got scripture for them. Let me show you my answer to that. You know, sometimes what they say when they try to criticize Pastor Chris, they may say it to you because they know they can't reach me. Ready for this? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Did you see that? Do and teach, not teach and do. So I was right, huh? Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So sometimes there are things that you have to do before any talking. And sometimes there are things you have to talk. See, you do the talking, then you do the doing. So it's not, there's no order that it must be word first. In fact, God did something from Genesis before he even said anything. The Bible says the Spirit of God fluttered over the face of the deep. That was doing something, incubating. And then God said, let there be light. So before he said anything, he did something. So again, I'm saying, doing can come ahead of saying. So it's not all the time that the signs have to follow the talking. No. The signs can come before there's any talking.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. For more uplifting messages by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library app.